For the word of God that is written, for the word of God that is within us, and for the word of the living God that is round about us, we give thanks to God. Dearly beloved, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
You are getting so good at that. It is indeed a great pleasure to wish you happy Easter using this ancient Easter greeting, Christ is risen. And I suppose I also should wish you a happy April Fool's Day, for indeed, as you know, today is April Fool's Day. And I know this is really nerdy of me, but I have to confess that as a preacher, I kind of live for things like the convergence of April Fools and Easter. And usually I'm disappointed because the last time Easter was on the 1st of April, it was 1956. That was 12 years before I was born. And the internet tells me that I have only one more chance to say this before I retire. So listen well to this message. If you thought a mere grave could hold the crucified Christ in the ground, if you thought a stone could seal the power of love in a tomb, if you thought God's grace would ever draw a final breath, if you thought death would be the end of the story, then April Fools, the joke's on you. Christ is risen. I've been waiting a long time to say that. I haven't had that much fun since 2001 when Easter fell on April 15th. I got to say that now only taxes are inevitable because the power of death has been overcome. Christ is risen. The Bible tells the story of Jesus' resurrection 5 different ways. Each of the 4 Gospels, tells the story in a particular way, and St. Paul, in the book of 1 Corinthians, also tells a version of the Easter story. And while each of the 5 versions of the story end the same way, the details of the story are sometimes radically divergent. And that means that before writing an Easter sermon, a preacher must choose to preach from 5 different resurrection stories. And I chose Mark's version of the story for this morning because I like how it ends with a great big question mark. Four of the Bible's 5 Easter stories give details about Jesus after the resurrection. Mark just leads us to the empty tomb and then expects us to finish the story for ourselves. It's almost like a joke that has been set up and we're still waiting for the punchline. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
But now what? This is the question that we get from Mark. What will your Easter punchline be? Over the years, various keepers of the biblical texts, monks and copyists, editors and scribes, they tried to fix Mark by adding endings that would provide a punchline that worked for them. And some of those endings are actually preserved in the Bibles in our pews, and you're welcome to read them. Because some subsequent Christians have accepted these endings as authentic, but most scholars agree that these are later additions. The author of Mark, it seems, wanted us to figure out the resurrection for ourselves, which is good, I think. Because the resurrection's punchline may need to be different for each one of us, may need to be as divergent and as diverse as are the children of God. For example, if you're someone who feels a great deal of confidence around traditional and orthodox doctrines around Jesus' resurrection, if you feel like it must be a certain way, then I have to say to you, April Fools! The joke is on you. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Sure, Christ is risen, but the biblical witness is confused about what that means. In John, Mary, who first witnesses the resurrection, is forbidden to touch Jesus' feet. In Matthew, the women cling to him. In Luke, the resurrected Jesus eats a meal like a full-fledged person, and then he disappears into thin air. In Paul's version, the resurrection is compared to a seed which dies in the earth and then is reborn as a flower, such that Christ's resurrected form is not physical but is spiritual. So if you are filled with confidence about Jesus, what Jesus' resurrection looks like, if you think you know it, if you think you have all the answers, April Fools. Turns out the Bible is less confident than you are. And do you really want to be certain where the very Word of God is hesitant to commit? But if you are someone who is confident in your disbelief, if you consider yourself to be too modern, too rational, too well-informed to embrace the reality of Jesus' resurrection, then April Fools, the joke is on you. There is no way to prove the resurrection one way or another, and there is no real way of knowing what the resurrection looked like. But even if you could take a video camera in a time machine and prove that Jesus' physical body never left the tomb alive, you would still be left with resurrection as a powerful, mythic metaphor. And if you think mythic metaphors aren't powerful, then, dearly beloved, you are not paying attention. As sure as day follows night, as sure as spring follows wintertime, as sure as age follows youth, so also resurrection follows crucifixion. Christ is risen. And if you doubt me, look at the iris and the dogwood and the wisteria and the jasmine that are blooming all around us after a winter that ended cold and wet. Or if you doubt the resurrection, look at how a mass shooting at a Florida high school has inspired a movement that just might transform the American political landscape. If, like me, you have found the March for Our Lives to be a breath of fresh air after near drowning in a fetid swamp, then, like me, you have felt the power of resurrection. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
I like Mark's version of the resurrection story because in it, there is room for all of us. The story ends with a blank. And some of us will fill in that blank with certainty about an historical resurrection. Others will fill in the blank with myth and metaphor. But either way, do not underestimate the power of resurrection. For if you underestimate the power of resurrection, then, dearly beloved, the joke will be on you. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
If you are among those who think that we will be saved by stockpiling weapons and fighting wars, by building walls and by rounding up various immigrants and sending them packing, often to countries they do not know, if you think the government is best suited to coddle the wealthy, if you think corporate profits are more important than the health of watersheds or the global climate, if you have put your faith in the politics of greed and the economy of death, then the joke is on you because Christ is risen. On the other hand, if you think the politics of greed and the economy of death has brought our civilization to a place of hopelessness, if you think humanity is forever doomed because the American people somehow managed to put the wrong politicians in power, then the joke is on you as well. It is true that hatred and violence and economic inequality are on the rise at home and abroad, but humanity has seen worse. And we have overcome. Despite violence and despotic repression, humanity has the capacity to thrive. Even in the worst dictatorships, we still dance. We still fall in love. We still find healing and justice, and we write poetry. The long arc of the moral universe still bends towards justice. We are strong. we shall overcome. And if you doubt it, the joke is on you. Thanks be to God. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
If you think nothing can be done about the problems we face, if you think nothing can be done about gun violence or corporate greed or official corruption or homelessness or our nation's dependence on military violence, then the joke is on you, because the people of God, Christians and otherwise, the people of God have the capacity to be transformed and to transform. And dearly beloved, the living God is on the move. Christ is risen. Now, maybe you're in a place where you feel as if your personal circumstances will get the best of you. Maybe you feel despair. Maybe you feel as if you are permanently and perpetually needing to pick up a spare on a 7-10 split. I don't know how resurrection's joke may play out in your life, but I pray you will not discount the possibility that spring will follow winter in your life, that a new day will dawn on the dark and bitter cold of this night. Hope, precious hope, is yet a reasonable possibility, because Christ is risen. I firmly believe the resurrection is a wonderful and joyous divine joke whose punchline is forever being delivered. And each of us will hear this joke with its glorious punchline a little differently. But in the end, Christ is risen. And that's what matters. May the joke be on you. And on me, and on all of us. And may the punchline fill us each with joyful and hopeful laughter. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Amen.